Hello and welcome to the Money Marketing Podcast. We are back again for our end of year podcast 2022. What a year. But first, before we get into it, let's introduce the whole team. Oh, I'm Kimberly Adondo, by the way. I always forget to introduce myself, but Mike, if you want to start.
Hi, Mike here.
Hi, I'm Lois Bellamy.
Hi, it's Maria Merrick.
Hello, it's Amanda Newman-Smith.
Hello, JB Andrea.
Hey, so like I said, 2022 was a tumultuous year. I think I've used that word so much more than I've ever used it in my entire life to describe this year in particular. So I think, Mike, you had the best way of kind of stating what we've been through in the UK. So I'll let you take it away.
Okay. Maths is not my strong point, but I'm relying on maths to do this.
Yeah.
So from February, one war. Then two monarchs, three prime ministers, three budgets, and four chancellors, and a partridge in a pear tree. Sorry, it's a terrible joke, but everyone's grimacing.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of,
It's just been an absolute roller coaster, and I think no one could have predicted it to happen this way. But I'm quite happy that we've come to a point where it seems to have calmed down slightly.
I say it every time, but don't say that, Kim, because we're recording on the 13th of December and this isn't going out until January.
I know, but I said this the other day, I'm trying to be more positive going into 2023. So I feel like we're in calm waters at the moment, and I'd like to acknowledge that.
Back to precedented times.
Yeah, exactly. We've been in such unprecedented times that it's nice to actually be back. But for you guys, were there any like particular events or news stories, whether it's within the industry or just, you know, globally, that stood out for you?
Can I start? Because I have something, because I'm not a royalist, but I had great affection for the Queen. And maybe that was the thing that really kind of shook me, because we had, of course, the Platinum Jubilee, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
That was all lovely and brilliant. But around that time, I was hearing from my husband, who's in construction, that one of his contacts knew one of the Queen's doctors and was hearing like bad things about her health. Mm. And Dan was saying to me, she probably won't survive Christmas. And I was like, no, you know, we'd have heard something about that. And of course, I think there were rumours, but I hadn't heard rumours. And then, of course, we ended up where we were. And that wasn't kind of a shock for me, but I was like, oh, you know, Dan told me about that. And, you know, I think that was quite, you know, it was a shock to me, because although, yeah, never met the Queen, never went to any of the events that she was at and everything. Mm-hmm. But it did feel like it was the end of an era for me, because I think I'm probably the oldest one here on the podcast. I remember the death of Diana. I remember going to, you know, to Kensington Palace and seeing all the flowers, and, you know, did the same thing for the Queen. And it was just one of those moments where you think, you know, this could kind of happen to anyone, but she was the Queen. She's always been there. And it was just destabilizing, I think. And that kind of made me reflect on, you know, I suppose, you know, bringing it back to financial advice and whatever, that we all need to prepare. You know, we're not going to be here forever, as morbid as that sounds. We all need to put things in place, you know, to make sure the next generation to carry on. So, you know, that's what I wanted to set up, really.
Yeah, that is a very practical way of looking at a death. I think for me, I just started like looking around and being like, oh my God, who's next in my life? Whenever, like, that's so dark, but you just start thinking like, oh, the people around me aren't going to be there forever. And I think about it more on an emotional level rather than a logical level, which I probably should be like, hey, to my parents, I should probably ask them, you know, where are your documents, so that I'm not left in a loop when it does happen eventually. But anything else? Did any other news story stand out for anyone?
Well, me, I just found the kind of the mini budget really interesting.
The one that just happened in November, or
the one before in September, the second one.
The one that sent us all in a loop.
Yeah, with Kwasi Kwarteng and Mistrust. So I just found that really, that whole kind of 6 week period, really just quite extraordinary. Never saw anything like it. And then, you know, just for, you know, a kind of chancellor to be, you know, flying to like a meeting at like the IMF, International Monetary Fund, and then to be summoned back early and then to be gone. And then the Prime Minister not shortly afterwards, was just really interesting. And just things like how various government departments were consulted about what they were going to do, and then it wasn't quite clear who exactly did what, when, and to whom. It was just really interesting just to watch that. Quite dramatic.
It was like a sitcom. It was ridiculous.
It really was.
I know it's been on parallels to what's that political sitcom with Peter Capaldi?
Oh, Thick of It.
The Thick of It, a lot, but it really was like that. And I did my, you know, we had our money marketing awards at the end of September.
Yes.
And I did the awards opening, and I was just listing off everything that had happened. And that was before everything that happened. And just saying, you know, that the pound has hit parity with the dollar for the first time in 40 years or whatever it was, or for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. And just reading off all these things that were happening, and the room was starting to sort of laugh. I think probably not finding it funny, but just laughing because it was just all so ridiculous.
Because if you don't laugh, you'll cry.
Yeah, exactly. And we didn't want them crying at our awards dinner.
So. Yeah.
Sometimes.
It was a really crazy year. But I'm kind of glad to shut the book on that on this year and start a new year, hopefully with less stories, less pending sense of doom constantly. Hopefully it'll be a better year. But I want to know more about you guys and what stood out for you, or what were the highlights for you in terms of what you wrote. So Amanda, would you like to start us off? I know that you've written quite a lot in terms of like your personal weekend essays, which are always my favorites, as well as, you know, the features that you write.
It has been an extraordinary, I suppose, for me in terms of the feature writing, which stood out. I just found myself doing quite a few articles on divorce, and it was a little bit odd for my husband to come in and see all these notes.
Was he like, is everything okay?
Exactly. I remember sort of leaving it on the it's where I dump things on the microwave, and my husband sort of coming across his notes like, oh, divorce lawyer, what's going on here? But no, seriously, it's just you know, the changes in the law which made it possible for now, you know, no fault divorce. I think that's the real game changer, I think, for me. And I was in two minds, really, because I may be a little bit old fashioned, but I just think, you know, when you get married, you do owe it to yourselves to kind of, you know, you've made a commitment. In the eyes of God, if you're religious, if you've not, you know, you've got a legal contract. You know, you've made this decision, you know, don't give up on it that easily. But I know at the same time, there are people in situations that they need to get out of. And if you start getting involved in the blame game, that can just escalate. For example, if you're in an abusive relationship or whatever. So I think it is good to kind of, you know, have that where you're not getting into this tit for tat thing, because I've seen it in my, you know, personal family as well, the way that, you know, auntie got divorced and it was just, oh, he said this, she said that. It's just totally unnecessary, you know, just have a clean break, you know, and get on with it. So for me, it was kind of just seeing, you know, the changes that this can bring about. And also, I think I talked to you, Kim, ahead of it when I was looking at cryptocurrency and divorce, because that just blew my mind, cryptocurrency. As I say, I am the oldest one here, and, you know, I'm having to sort of, you know, get used to the idea of digital currency or whatever. And, you know, you're probably quite, you're all younger than me. It kind of comes more easily to you. And
no, it still doesn't. I'm telling you, I feel like every single day there's something new that I'm having to pick up and learn, and it feels like it's changing too quickly. So I feel you on that one.
Oh, well, I'm glad. Just not that kind of old dinosaur trying to get scripted.
No.
But it just seems to me, it's an issue, isn't it? Like the whole sort of, you know, how you find this stuff, you know, when you're getting a divorce, that was kind of something that really hit me. It's like, you know, that I've heard it said that you don't know anyone until you're divorcing them. And I think that's when all these things, you know, cryptocurrency, any sort of hidden investments, if you like, they all sort of come to light. And I think that was kind of, I think that forced me to kind of realize that when things are good, you need to sit down and be honest. So, you know, avoid these things in the future. But it was the cryptocurrency thing. I learned so much about that because, you know, when you're looking at the news and you're hearing this word bandied around, but, you know, you just sort of don't really know what it means. I've kind of done a bit of research into it and what it means now. So I felt that I learned a lot anyway from that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're still learning because now there's been loads of changes within crypto, and one of the biggest platforms, FTX, recently fell apart and dissolved, and there's going to be so many lawsuits around that. And now, you know, in the US, they're looking at putting in actual regulation in order to stop things like that happening again. So I think it's still going to be a very interesting space to watch and see how it evolves and whether people continue to put their money there.
I'm still waiting for this crypto boom that was promised in last November, was it? 21?
Yeah.
They kept saying crypto is going to take off. So I bought £30 of Ethereum and it's now worth £11.19.
I think I've talked to some people and they said that because it has nothing that it's put against, because, you know, like that there's no physical asset that it's put against, or sometimes it's put against actual currency, that there it doesn't really mean anything. So I don't know if the boom
is based on sentiment.
Yeah, it's based on whether people are just dumping or buying more, and I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go, but it's good that they're looking into putting in more regulation. Hopefully that will also transfer over here at some point as well, so that people don't get scammed out of their money as well, based on dodgy coins that some celebrity decides to promote. But Maria, for you, you came back towards the end of this year. I'm sure it must have been you already mentioned it was quite like you hit the ground running, having to, you know, pick stuff up when everything was constantly changing and having to look over the rewrites and everything when we were trying to go to press because of all the government changes and everything. So how has that been for you coming back this year?
To be honest, it's been a bit of a blur since I've been back. I feel like I'm either catching up or getting ahead with various things. So I'm looking forward to a bit of a real clean start next year, and maybe writing a bit more and just getting a little bit more space, hopefully. But then I say that all the time and then it never comes. But no, I mean, it's been an amazing year. Obviously, I've been kind of on the outside of the industry for the majority of it. So in terms of like industry specifics, I'm probably a little bit behind. But yeah, I mean, being off my last maternity leave, COVID hit. This maternity leave, a lot of other things hit. So I think I decided I'm not going to have any more babies for the sake of the UK economy, basically. But
how can you put that on yourself? All these changes are because you chose to go and have children. No,
hey, look, let's see what happens, shall we? Let's put my theory to the test.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's just amazing to go through another huge shift in global events like that whilst being off again. I think the biggest thing for me personally was the news of Russia's war in Ukraine. It really got me. I think obviously everyone else, but growing up I always had such a huge fear of nuclear war, nuclear attack. I was a really anxious child about things like that as soon as I learned about that. So that for me was huge. And obviously having this new tiny baby and my other child as well, and I remember just thinking and talking to my parents about the Cold War and trying to put my mind at ease with things like that. But I think a big story something that's going to affect all of us is the cost of living crisis. So, mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of an industry, from an industry perspective, it would be really interesting. I know it's already hit protection, protection sales. Yeah, I need to look a bit more into it, but I'm sure more will come out in terms of people taking money out of their pension, investment statistics and things like that. So I think that'll be a huge story for the industry next year.
I guess when people get that next big gas and electricity bill next year, we'll see whether people are going to keep like paying into their protection plans or.
Absolutely. It's going to be huge, isn't it? It's going to be a huge. I just don't know. I just don't know how people are going to cope with it, really. It's really sad. It's really worrying.
Yeah. And JB, what about you? What stories did you work on, or what were the highlights for you in your
time off? You know, let's say global news, we've covered pretty much everything, so we focus on what we publish as money marketing. PISA stood out from my point of view. I would rather say PISA that I particularly liked what the target market about how to advise sport professional.
Yes. And I mean, obviously, that's quite applicable for like all the footballers that are out there right now making money.
Absolutely. So basically, I got the idea. So how the series started is I wanted to write something about sport professionals because it might be strange or unexpected, but when I was a child, my dream was to be a professional footballer.
Oh, like every other little child.
Basically, yeah. So, well, obviously it didn't pan out.
Did you have like an injury that made it unlike you couldn't do it?
No, it was just a total absence of talent.
Oh, okay. I like the honesty. Most people would have just been like, no, I like ruptured my ACL or something, so I could never be a professional sports person. But yeah, no talent.
Yeah.
go on.
And, I've always followed football, so I thought, you know, I could try to connect both my interest for the sport with my job. And it was interesting because there was something I didn't suspect, although it was perhaps obvious. So, you know, a lot of footballers come from a working class background, and from the day to the other, they end up having a lot of money, more than they ever had, and they don't always know how to manage it. They're also more, let's say, sensitive to scams. So yeah, I think it was an interesting piece.
Yeah, because I can imagine it's kind of similar to winning the lottery suddenly, right? And they're very young, most of them, like when they become successful. And also they probably don't realize that there's maybe a 10-year span in which they can continue working. So they don't really think like saving for the future. They just think.
Yes. And you also have, you know, footballers who come from in England, who comes from foreign countries and they don't necessarily speak English.
Mm.
So it makes everything more complicated for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you speak to a lot of any like advisors who specialize with working with?
Yes, and I also spoke to a former professional rugby player who then became a mortgage advisor.
Mm.
So it wasn't football, but it gave me, you know, the insight of someone who used to be a sport professional and how, you know, he dealt with his money during his career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We also published other target market features. There was one on lawyers, which was not nearly as interesting as the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lois also wrote one.
I did one about NHS workers, doctors, nurses, because there's quite a lot, especially the NHS pension scheme is particularly complicated, I think. So, yeah, that was an interesting one to write. And there are advisors that specialise in advising NHS professionals.
Yeah, I think I spoke to one person who does that with it on the In Conversation With podcast, and it seemed quite technical, the amount of knowledge that he had to have. Also, I did also speak to quite a few professional athletes turned advisors as well. So yeah. I feel like there's like a pipeline for that almost. Like I used to be a professional athlete and then I became a financial advisor.
There's a fund manager as well.
Yeah.
Some fund managers.
I wonder what the skills and the parallel skill sets that attract to that.
I often think that there's a parallel with sports and probably shouldn't say it, but betting and mm-hmm. then kind of asset allocation and fund picking and things like that. There's a definite parallel there. I know a lot of advisors and fund managers that enjoy the horse racing and things like that, and looking at form and things like that. You can certainly see how it carries over into our world.
Yeah, maybe that's a future study that we can do or something. That'd be quite interesting. Mike, what about you? What stood out for you that you worked on in 2022?
Oh, everything.
Everything. Well, yeah, you were overseeing. You'd stepped into the acting.
Yeah, I think.
Editor role.
I think, yeah. Surviving, I think the first 48 hours and the first 5 weeks before holiday were definitely... Mm-hmm. I just had to survive the first sort of, you know, the opening 5 weeks, but that was great. Coming through that, loads of things to say. Just very, very, first of all, very proud of the team. I think it has been a tough year, and I think that we haven't lived so much a year as in several years in a year.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And, you know, it's just crazy to think that just a few months ago, Boris was prime minister, and just that just seems so long ago.
Yeah.
A few months ago, we still had Queen Elizabeth II, and that seems so long ago. And now we have Charles III, and he's not Prince Charles anymore. He's King Charles, which just seems very, very strange.
I don't think
so. Because I've always known him as Prince Charles. In terms of, I think, like big professional things, I think getting to the end of the year and, you know, still being in business, is one thing. And just how the team have really come on. I think, you know, Amanda's, you know, really proud of Amanda and her weekend essays.
Mm-hmm.
She's made, because they're really, really good. Always enjoy reading them, you know, and really great that Maria's back. So, so happy to have Maria back and having, you know, the back end of the magazine done. You know, Lois, you know, you with all your things, particularly, you know, when you did your the money marketing awards hosting. I think that was probably the highlight of many, which is really good. Also the Aberdeen story, Kim, you're in conversation with series, it's really, really great. You know, JB, your target market stuff, and the news reporting. You know, Momodou and his Woodford cover, and a lot of the pension story that Momodou did.
Mm-hmm.
Who else am I? You know, the events team.
Shouting everyone out, and you're forgetting
Katie,
that
I'll get to you. Don't worry. I won Pensions Journalist of the Year, which is kind of my Oscar moment, because for me that was a kind of important one to win, because I'm doing less and less writing now. It was like my third time nominated.
Mm-hmm.
And the nominations came from a lot of writing I did last year, not mm-hmm. this year. So I kind of was sensing that it would really be my last time to win, because I just write a lot less now, and I did. So that was great. So that was really, really good. So I kind of had my Oscar moment, and so I'm happy now.
Yeah.
And
then all together,
we won
editorial
best magazine BT. There.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Katie won, obviously forget Katie and little Freddie.
Yeah.
Katie won a platform Journalist of the Year at the Schroeder's Platform Awards in September. So that was really good, because that's her beat. And Lois and Momodou were shortlisted for Newcomer of the Year at Headline Money.
I actually got highly commended, but
yeah. Highly commended. Sorry, you got highly commended. Okay, I can't remember. There's so many awards I remember.
Momodou also got highly commended for the platform.
And so did Amanda.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Amanda.
Yes.
So four people were shortlisted for the platform. We had three of them. Katie won, Momodou and Amanda. And Numeral Advisor, I only had one nomination, so we had three. So which always pleased peers. So
it was a really positive year for the marketing team.
And JB also got his your investment award. Don't forget that, JB. What was it, 150 hours of studying?
Award?
Your qualification.
Your qualification.
So it was supposed to be, so they recommended 100 hours. But I did about between 125 and 150.
What exactly was this qualification that you did?
It's called Investment Management Certificate. So, but it's a private endeavor. It's just a kind of hobby.
Yeah, but that's a highlight for you for this year. You were so anxious about it and you managed to achieve it.
Yeah, but I'm not done yet. It's a second unit to complete.
Yeah, but you did the first one.
The first one. You know, enjoy it, JP.
Yeah, but without the second one, it's worth nothing.
Oh, goodness. Okay, well, I'm proud of you, okay?
I'm proud of you. We're all proud of you.
We're all proud of you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Lois, okay, so JB already talked about something personal, so you can talk about something professional, like a professional highlight, but also if you want to give us any personal tidbit that you want to share.
Sure. I have probably met more people in the past year than I have in the rest of my entire life.
Oh, you have been up and down the country.
It's been really fun. So thanks to everyone who's been on all the events that I've gone to. And yeah, it's been really a whirlwind year in terms mm-hmm. of work socializing. I've neglected my personal social life a little bit, but that will be corrected soon. Probably I did want to talk about, it was a while ago now, but my cover feature that I wrote in April, mm-hmm. it was about
LV.
Yep, LV, mm-hmm. sharing my initials. Mm-hmm. And the cover is bright red with a heart, so it should have been the February cover, but it was in April that I wrote mm-hmm. it. And it was all about LVs. So a while ago, it was, you know, it was going to be bought by a private capital, private equity company called Bain Capital. And then that deal fell through, and then it was going to tie up with Royal London, but then it decided against it, and it's sort of gone alone. And it's done a tie up with Embark, the platform, to white label a platform. And so I wrote it like LV's love story, which was really fun, mm-hmm. especially as I'd just gone through a breakup myself. So it was a very therapeutic feature to write. It was probably my favorite ever feature I've written. It's just, I quite like finding a new way of saying something quite boring, like a lot of deals and there's a lot of technical language and stuff, but I tried to write it in a sort of love story way. So mm-hmm. that was probably my favorite thing that I've written this year. In terms of biggest story was probably, and sorry to bring it up again, Aberdeen, but it was probably the fact that Aberdeen is losing a lot of senior advisors. So I got a tip off from somebody that I know who told me this was happening. So I went to lots of other people, asked them. That was probably my biggest news story. I believe it's in the top 20 most read of the year, which I think
is
quite good for a one that was in the second half of the year. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I was pleased with that one.
And that's a story that's still developing because you're still trying to find out the full.
Exactly what's going on, yeah, the full story. Yeah. So hopefully have that early next year.
Yeah.
It was probably, I've already mentioned it, but I really enjoyed opening the Money Marketing Awards. I've never done anything like that before, so it was probably one of the biggest things I've ever done. I've never been so scared in my life.
You carried it off so well. No one would be able to tell.
Everyone says they're surprised I was so nervous, but honestly, when I in the networking drinks before the awards happened, some people mm-hmm. were talking to me, and I can't even remember anything they said. I couldn't see. I was like to the events team, no, can you just go and do it? I really can't do this. But as soon as I got on stage, I was fine. And it was only 5 minutes, and it wasn't like the Oscars.
And you got the laughs. Like everyone laughed at your opening.
I wasn't even trying to be funny, but I got some laughs. So it's good.
So you'll be perfectly fine to do it next year.
Oh, yeah. If I'm asked.
I'm sure you'll be asked. Lois, were there any other personal highlights for you?
I've really enjoyed getting much more into podcasting interviews. I'd never really done that much before I joined Money Marketing. I'd done the odd one, but that's definitely been something I've really personally enjoyed, like a personal development thing that I've really enjoyed. Yeah, that's probably it. Just carry on socializing next year.
Yeah, travel across the country.
Stuff, especially if it's like
international
country. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we should really seriously think about MMI Asia. Singapore, Hong Kong. Yeah, let's do it. Michael, what about you? Was there anything for you personally that was a highlight?
Met the love of my life. So that's the big one.
You should make her listen to that part. You should be like, listen to this podcast for this shout out.
Prayer,
don't worry. That could be 2023.
That's a resolution for next year as well.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it. Yeah. It's gonna.
Oh, maybe don't get her to listen to this then, because
yes.
Spoiler.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Exclusive.
Yeah. So that's the big personal one, which is really, really good. So that's the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
This year for me.
Well done for completely blowing my personal achievement out of the water, mate.
No, I love that for you. That's actually a very genuine I love that for you, not like a bitter I love that for you, I promise. And Maria, what about you? Was there anything? Obviously, you brought a human into the world, so that's a pretty big one.
Well, that was actually last year, so I can't claim that one this year, but but I kept her alive, so that's good. And I got married last month, so I guess that should be my highlight.
So how many years in the making?
10 years, two wow. children, finally got around to it, so
yeah.
No, that was really lovely. But I'm just gonna go and read back on all of Amanda's divorce content from this year, just to get prepared.
Get
some tips for a good marriage, you know.
for a postnup, you can still do the postnup like while things are good, like Amanda said. And Amanda, what about you? What stood out for you personally?
Personally, it's just seeing my kids grow up. I mean, I've got three kids, as everyone knows, because they're always the inspiration for my weekend essays.
They are. I feel like I know so much about them and their hobbies and their likes, and they sound like really cool kids, to be fair.
Oh, thank you. But it's just like my eldest, he just, as I say, my latest weekend, I said about his band issues, you know, he's a musician and I've lived it for a year. I'm always telling Maria about it, you know, the ups and downs of that, but just sort of seeing how mature they are. And, you know, I'm not blowing my own trumpet because I don't take credit for that, but I obviously do feed into that. And my husband's mm-hmm. always telling me, you know, this is because, you know, the way we're bringing them up. And it's kind of like that. I mean, all of them have had challenges this year and they're sort of coming through it with maturity. My youngest, which I don't really talk about him because he's only seven, you know, that's not really kind of a lot there. But, you know, he's struggled with, you know, his whole schooling. He started schooling in lockdown and
just
struggled to cope. And now I think we've turned a corner, like academically, he's soaring now. And it's just a relief as a parent. My middle child, Chloe, she's becoming so mature. She's 10 and I'm now aware that I've got the preteen thing. So it's kind of learning about giving her more privacy and knocking on a bedroom door and that sort of thing, you know. And I step back and think, but she's only 10, but she is more mature than her age, I think. So it's that really. And
kids these days, they just have so much information available to them that I just feel like their maturity levels are like increasing more than like when I was a kid. I wasn't able to verbalize or say the way I feel as well as they're able to articulate it, which I think is really great for them.
I agree. I was I was young for my age, looking at my kids and how I was, the stuff that they've now had to do. Lockdown was a big thing, you know, that sort of isolation and stuff. I don't think I could have handled that as they've done, and then kids across the country as well. I'm not just sort of saying my kids, Yeah. Can I also talk about having done my first cover this year as well?
Yes.
I realised I haven't done that. I was absolutely terrified of writing my first cover, which is really silly because I've been doing this job so long now that it shouldn't have been anything really. And in the end, I treated it as just another story. But it was the one on platforms, you know, Why They Must Evolve or Die.
Yes.
It was an area that I didn't really know much about because when I started at Money Marketing, I was a new products reporter. And, you know, at that time, it was all fun, supermarkets and wraps. And I kind of did a bit about that and then kind of left it, you know, for a while. So I haven't really looked at that area in much detail, probably since about 2012. So it's a good 10 years. So that's partly why I was a bit worried. And I remember sort of talking to Katie about it, you know, when Katie was still here before maternity leave, and she was a bit surprised that I was kind of out of my comfort zone for the first cover I've ever done. But I was really happy with the way it turned out, and I just kind of, as I say, treated it just like another feature. And I, you know, it turned out well, and as you know, Mike said earlier, I was shortlisted for an award, and I just thought, why me? I've kind of like hardly ever kind of done anything in this area, but there you are. I'm really happy, actually. I'm sort of chuffed about that.
Yeah, no, I think you did a really good job. I actually used it as reference for a conversation I had with Richard Dennings on platforms, because I was like, that I don't know much about platforms, so I used it, so, and it was very useful, so thanks for that.
Thank you. It's always good to recycle and reuse things.
To expand your understanding. JB, did you have any personal, apart from, you know, starting your track onto becoming an investment guru?
An investment guru?
Yeah.
That's yeah, JB. Well, I could expand on this if you want, because there's nothing much else.
Yeah.
No, so I think really it wasn't that complicated. I mean, it was more about the time you're willing to spend for this, at least for the first unit, because it was mostly regulation. So I would say it was more quantitative effort rather than a qualitative one, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you're looking forward to doing the second?
Yeah.
How many more hours do you have to put in for that one?
There's vying at least 120 hours.
Oof. Well, good luck to you, sir.
And this time it will be pure maths.
And you're excited about that.
Sounds horrible.
I know.
You have an idiom in English, but I forgot it. It, you know, when you say, you know, you're going to test yourself and...
pushing yourself to...
No, it's like you're going to see what you have inside or something like that.
See what you're made of.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, for me, I'm definitely not made of the brain that likes or enjoys maths at all. So.
Well, that was long ago, obviously, but if it wasn't for maths, I would probably never have completed middle school.
Oh, wow. Very different for me. Every other subject, maths was my least favorite. Maths and physics, I didn't love. But
I was terrible at art.
No. Okay. This sounds bad for people who love art, but art never really counted to me. It was kind of like PE. It was just that class that you went to relax for a bit.
But I got highest grade in my art GCSE.
But that's because I didn't take art GCSE, because I knew I wasn't an artist. I was either going to be a scientist or a writer. So I did both.
Kim, what about your personal highlight?
Oh, my personal highlights. Well, I started the In Conversation With podcast, which honestly I thought would be a struggle. In terms of like getting guests to appear. But after the first like 10 people accepted, now it's really like flowing really easily. And at first I was super nervous talking to these people one-on-one, because like I said, like I don't have that much knowledge of the industry, but I feel like the format of this particular series has allowed me to learn more, which is kind of the other part of why I wanted to do it in the first place. So yeah, that was a big personal achievement and professional achievement as well. And I don't know, personally, What else? Oh, I was maid of honor for one of my best friends, and I managed to plan her hen do and all of that. And I just felt like, even though I wasn't planning a whole wedding, but it just felt super overwhelming to have that.
Bigger than the weddings nowadays, honestly.
Yeah, they are. And it just felt like so much responsibility to, like, because you're trying to make sure everyone has fun, and everyone did have a good time. So I felt really good about that. So yeah, that's something I can, event planner under my belt. Yeah.
Talking about wedding, is there a good excuse to not go to wedding?
COVID?
Death?
Okay, I'll keep COVID in mind.
Or you can say cost, because the yeah. Weddings are a big cost for people outside of the people actually getting married. Like, people in the wedding party do pay quite a bit. So if you're like, oh, I'm super broke, sorry. That's also a valid thing.
And it's believable because of the cost of living going up as well.
Yeah. Is there a wedding you're trying to get out of, JB?
Yeah.
Well, we'll send them the link to this so that they can hear.
Podcast?
So they can hear that it's all a lie, whatever you say.
Not sure they speak English, though.
Well, I'll translate it for them. Tell me the friend. I'm that vindictive. but let's go on to 2023 and our hopes and dreams and aspirations and resolutions for 2023. Since JB brought it up first, what are your resolutions?
I guess the first one is I want to start to invest, because you have
yes.
to you have to put your
money where your mouth is.
Yeah, exactly. And well, you know, it's not a good time to have your money sitting on in a savings account with a low AR. I guess second resolution, well, completing my certification.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps a third one, which is not likely to pan out. I would like to pick up a sport activity. I haven't done any for about 4 years.
To do what, sorry?
Pick up a sport activity.
Oh, right. Okay. I think you should also say yes to everything.
No.
You're already failing, JB. what about you, Mike? What are your resolutions for 2023?
Propose, obviously, which will...
Dude, stop spoiling it.
It's fine, really. So there's that. I want to try and... see if I can advance the poetry a bit more. So try and get a bit more poetry published. It's just a very, very kind of slow and glacial process. So I think I need to do a bit more research about where to send stuff. Because just sort of sending stuff somewhere and hoping it gets published, that's not really working.
Self-publish?
It's not really working. No, I'd like to have a bit of a record. Yeah. Basically.
Okay.
So there's that. And then, I think those are two things. And then just keep perspective. Just don't really worry about the future, because there's no point worrying about the future. We'll be fine. And just cross the bridge when we come to it, I think.
Yeah. Live in the now.
Yeah, exactly. So I think those are my sort of three things, and yeah.
And what about you, Maria, now that you're back in action?
Mine are cliche: eat better, exercise more, read more, obviously all of those. Mm-hmm. But also I'm going to change my name in the new year, go through all of that. So I think that gives a really good opportunity to go over all insurances, pensions, things like that. So it just seems so daunting, doesn't it? And this is awful, but I need to check that my youngest is on all of the policy paperwork. So yeah, I think that will give a good opportunity to go through everything.
Yeah. You think that just getting married kind of just automatically makes all of those things solved, but there's still so many things that you probably have to...
for the list.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like those practical. I'm sure our audience will also like those practical things that you're going to look into in 2023. And Amanda, what about you?
Serious one and a light-hearted one. Serious one, I think self-care. I think, you know, I'm a busy mum of three. I work, you know, and whatever. I tend to feel a little bit guilty if I've got time for myself. When I was single, I used to kind of sit in the bath with a book for 3 hours, and I can't do that now. You know, it's one of those things where I think, Marie, you know, you will kind of identify with that, you know, you're always worrying about someone else and got someone's issues on you. I think I need to kind of take time out sometimes for me.
Yeah,
that's definitely a serious one. And the light-hearted one, a bit like Mike, I've got an idea for a novel. It's been kicking around for a while, and it sounds a bit silly, but time travel, really. My eldest is very into time travel, and I was sort of sitting there thinking, well, it's always, like, you know, pictured for kids, isn't it, like Doctor Who and whatever. And in a weekend essay I wrote about rewatching Life on Mars, you know, TV series about, you know, time travel policemen. And I just thought, I want to do something like that, but relate it to stuff in my life and, you know, some what ifs and create characters on the back of that. So I'd like to do something on that.
Having already read your writing, I would be so down for that. And also because I love sci-fi and fantasy, and that is right up my alley. So if you need someone to look at your first draft, I'm here. I did study, like, proper publishing and editorial stuff, so.
Brilliant. That's great. See, that'll give me the kick up the backside, I think, I need to
kind of. I'll be like, where are my chapters, Amanda? I need the first 5 chapters by February.
You'll be taking Mike's job if you carry on.
Okay, what about you, Lois? What are your resolutions?
Okay, so earlier I said I'd been neglecting my actual social life, which
is
not entirely true, because from March to about September, I basically travelled around and saw nearly all my friends I've ever made in my life, and I wasn't at home for one weekend, and it was great for my mental health, but it was really, really terrible for my bank account.
Mm.
So as a financial journalist, I feel like I need to maybe be a bit more frugal in January, February, because I want to save up to volunteer with wildlife in Botswana in 2024. And it's going to be quite expensive to do. So that's one. I used to be really obsessed with running, and I really loved it. And now I really hate it because I'm super unfit. So I'm going to say it just so maybe I'll actually do it, get back into running.
Yeah.
And my third one is I've signed up to do an art class from January to March because I love art. I know you don't, Kim, but I do.
It's just because I don't have the talent for it, similar to JB with being a sports person.
I've signed up to a beginner class, which I've already done because I do need to be the best in the class, so I can't go for advanced. But yeah, so I'm really looking forward to doing that.
Okay. You really love being the big fish in a small pond.
Preferably in a big pond, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess for my resolutions, I want to start Muay Thai again. I really miss it, which is Thai kickboxing. It was just in terms of, like, being, I was trying to be more frugal because this year was so wedding heavy that my money was being funneled to other people's happy days. So next year, I think I'm going to be more selfish. 2023 is going to be my selfish year. And hopefully travel more and continue with the podcast series, because I love talking to new people. And that is my resolution for 2023. And I'm so excited to see us grow as a team. And unfortunately, Mamadou couldn't be with us today, but I'm sure he's having a great old time in sunny Gambia.
He got out, like, literally just the right, like, day, like last Saturday. He just, before it all kicked off.
lucky man. I'm sure he's having a great time with his family. But yeah, it's been a pleasure working with every single one of you guys. I couldn't ask for a better team. And I can't wait to see what we do in 2023. There's more events coming. There's more great, you know, physical copies of the magazine coming. So make sure to subscribe to that. There's more great content that will be coming on the website. And I think we're just going to keep coming up with new ideas that everyone will love. Well, thank you guys for joining me today.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you for hosting. Thank you.